Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. It's good to welcome everyone to join us today as we talk about some mysterious giants, the whales. So stay tuned. Well, everyone, we have a lesson that has to do with the environment today and creatures of the sea, and I love the sea and the ocean, so I'm very happy to be here today. This is Doris Broome, Bumonghue, and we also have as panelists today...
Amanda.
Amanda, where are you from?
New Zealand.
And you like the ocean and the sea?
Love the ocean, surrounded by it down there.
Right. It's beautiful. And also...
Nathaniel, I'm very glad to be here, too. I love going to the beach. Haven't done much scuba diving, that type of thing, but I do like to see ocean wildlife as well.
So I wonder if you that are listening in, as well as the panelists that are here today, have you ever seen whales?
I haven't seen a whale yet. I have seen dolphins.
They're beautiful, too.
Mm-hmm, they often swim off the shore of New Zealand.
I have not been whale watching either. That's usually what we call it when we go out and look for whales, whale watching. I have not had the chance yet, though.
Well, I think there's places like even off the coast of Hualien where you can go whale watching here in Taiwan. And then other places, there's a lot of places where you can see whales. I like the big whale sharks, but they're not quite as big as the one we're going to talk about today. But I've been down to Australia on the west coast where the whale sharks have their babies and been in the water with them. And it's so exciting. They're just huge. Down to Exmouth, population 300, small town, big whales out there. And we do often see whales in Seattle, in Puget Sound, the killer whales. They're beautiful. They don't kill people, but they just, you know, like to eat fish and things like that.
Right. It seems the northwest coast has a lot of whale populations.
A lot
there.
Of whales. In fact, the American native people that we call the Indians, they always like to kill whales to eat. And of course, whales are big. If you get one whale, you got a lot of food there, right?
Yeah.
And the Eskimos.
Yes.
And all, right.
Yes.
But we're going to find out about this article. It's talking about Seattle's mysterious giants. But these giants don't just stay in Seattle. They go all over. They travel a lot. So where are we going to start reading today?
Well, first we're going to look at the deck under Seattle's mysterious giants. It says, scientists track massive whales by following their earth-shaking calls. So these whales are very big. That's why we use the word massive. And we're going to learn how scientists track them by following the call signs that they make.
Seattle's mysterious giants. Scientists track massive whales by following their earth-shaking calls. At first, the whale chatter was just a nuisance. When Seattle scientists set out to monitor earthquakes off the northwest coast, they expected their underwater seismometers to occasionally pick up the booming voice of the fin whale, the second largest creature on Earth. But what they wound up with was such a cacophony that they had trouble zeroing in on the actual tremors. It was a very big pain, said William Wilcock, a marine geophysicist at the University of Washington. To separate tens of thousands of small quakes from hundreds of thousands of whale calls, he and his students were forced to write their own automated program. Now, they're mining that mountain of discarded data for insights into one of the sea's least known and most endangered giants.
We're not only going to talk about whales. There's many kinds of whales, and we'll talk about that. But we're going to talk about whales talking or chattering. So not just whales, but whales making sounds.
That's right. The first sentence is, at first, the whale chatter was just a nuisance. And yes, chatter is a word for talk or making noise. And at first, to these scientists, it really was a trouble for them to have to pick up these chattering noises from the whales.
That sounds kind of funny because I never thought about the noise that they meant being a nuisance to anybody, yep. Did you?
Right. You often think of dolphins chattering, and people like the sound of dolphins chattering.
Right, and birds chattering and mm-hmm. everything. And the whales do it. They say, hey, that's a nuisance, because they're interfering with some of the research they were doing, right? Mm,
that's right. We see that these Seattle scientists actually set out, or their goal was, to monitor earthquakes off the northwest coast. So they were expecting that their underwater seismometers would pick up the earthquake sound, not whale chatter.
Right. You know, everybody's always trying to figure out some way to predict if there's going to be an earthquake. We know that earthquakes are really damaging, and along a lot of areas where underwater, we know there's little places where that could happen. They try to check and see, are there any changes in the sound, so we could warn people there might be an earthquake. But they kept hearing ba 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 ba, and they thought, oh, maybe it's an earthquake. But no, it was just the whales talking.
Yeah.
It was kind of a nuisance to them. That's kind of a funny way to think about it, isn't it?
Right. I think it's funny how they were hoping maybe they would pick up the booming voice of the fin whale occasionally. So maybe just, you know, once in a while, not this constant chattering that we're talking about.
Right. They expected that sometimes they would have that. Now, they say the booming voice of the fin whale. I looked up to find out more about what kinds of whales, because I like the whale sharks. They're beautiful. And also, they, you know, the sharks, the whales that are killer whales are so beautiful. Mm. They look like, you know, black and white. And you've seen pictures of them. And they do stunts sometimes in these places where they, aquariums and all, right?
And,
But they're not quite as big as the fin whale. And the biggest whale is the blue whale. Hmm. So, wow, whales are really big. They're actually the largest creatures that there are in the world, mammals, aren't they?
Right. They're not only the biggest whales, but these whales are the biggest animals in the whole world. And the fin whale is second only to the blue whale. It's the second largest creature on Earth.
Well, in fact, you know, when we think about animals, we think about fish. We always think about fish having eggs, don't we? Mm-hmm. Fish eggs, and they have more fish, salmon eggs. But what about whales? Do they have eggs like that?
No, they don't have big eggs. They just have their babies in the water like many other creatures that live on land, actually.
Mm. Right.
That's what makes them mammals.
They call them mammals, right. And you know that it takes them about 11 months. Now, usually for women, it's about 9 months. They think that's a long time. And sometimes dogs or cats are just a few months. Mm. But whales, 11 months.
Wow.
Just think of that. Because they're so big, those huge babies.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, they actually feed them for 6 or 7 months after they're born.
Wow. So they're together for
just taking care of them like little babies, you know. We don't think about that, you know.
Nope.
So we'll find then that whales have an interesting life that we've never thought about. Most people just think, whale meat, But let's think beyond that and think about what these whales are like and what they do. Mm. But they make a certain noise, and it must be very loud if the scientists are picking it up.
That's right. It says they wound up with the noise that was such a cacophony that they had trouble zeroing in on the actual tremors.
So they were trying to find the earthquake tremors, but they got the noise of the whales, didn't
they? And they describe it as a cacophony. And a cacophony, in our vocabulary focus, says an unpleasant mixture of loud noises.
Yeah, I love the word cacophony. It sounds like a fun word. We don't really use it all that often, though.
I don't think you have to memorize it. Just know what it means.
Yeah, know
some
what it
words
means.
You need to memorize, but this one, just know what it means, is good enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we use it in our daily vocabulary.
Right.
And then we see another two words here, zeroing in.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Mm-hmm. Zeroing in, you kind of focus on something, not paying attention to the other things that aren't as important, trying to focus on other things.
Mm.
It's pretty interesting because most people would say, oh, I'm so excited, I heard the voice of the whales, but not this scientist. How did he feel about it?
Well, William Wilcox says it was a very big pain, and he's a marine geophysicist at the University of Washington.
Now, we don't really mean pain like it hurts you, right. But just time off and
right. Trouble.
Yeah. Annoying.
Yeah, a big, big bother to us. See?
Right.
Well, what was he actually trying to be doing up there?
Well, he was trying to hear the earthquake sounds that were happening. And he says, it goes on to say, to separate tens of thousands of small quakes. They needed to do that from hundreds of thousands of whale calls. So they hope to just get the earthquake sound, but they're getting these hundreds of thousands of whale calls on top of the earthquake, which makes it very hard to separate the two.
Well, you know, I wondered what that sounded like. And if you go online and check on the whales and you can Google it in there, you can get the sounds and you can hear them.
Oh, wow.
Boom, 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 boom. You can hear the sound and you can see why that. So they are doing this, boom, boom, every few seconds, boom, 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 back and forth. And, it's going to be an earthquake. No, it's just the whales talking. But, you know, it has to be very powerful for that sound to go through the water like that.
That's why they called it booming,
sound.
Right?
That's true.
But it seems that, again, they did think outside the box and think about how they could deal with this problem. So he and his students were forced to write their own automated program.
So they had to write a program that tells the difference between the earthquake sounds and the whale sounds.
Right.
It's pretty interesting.
Right.
So they had to figure it out on their computer.
Right. And it says now they're mining that mountain of discarded data for insights into these fin whales, one of the sea's least known and most endangered giants. So they have all this information from the program. They just wanted the earthquake information, but now they're actually paying a little more attention to these noises that the whales are making.
So let's go back and listen to it again. Forget the earthquakes this time and think about the whales. That's another viewpoint, using the same data, separating the sound. Before, that was just a nuisance. Get rid of it. But now they're trying to use it, aren't they?
Right. And we have a phrase here, mining that mountain. To mine through a mountain. Here we're not literally mining through a mountain, but they're going through all this data, and they're going through it piece by piece, separating it and sifting through it.
Well, these scientists, I'm telling you, what they're thinking of, it's quite a difficult job, isn't
yes.
it? Because the reason they want the earthquake data, they want people to know if it seems like there's a change in the plates underneath the earth that are shifting,
right.
and maybe there'll be an earthquake. That scares everybody. But they try to find out ahead of time, right?
Right, to predict
it. But now
it.
They're saying, well, let's find out. I wonder if the whales are talking about the earthquake. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Wonder what they're talking about. Right. The
right.
next thing they'll have to try to figure out what the whales are trying to say, right?
Right.
Yeah, that'll be the next step in this process.
That'll be right. a little difficult, right? See whether the pregnant males, some of the whales make more noise than others. So who's doing that? The men or the women? Who's
right.
doing all the talking? Lots to learn, right?
Yes.
But these whales are mysterious creatures, and let's read more about them. Let's take the next paragraph.
Mysterious creatures. Second only to blue whales in size, fin whales remain shrouded in mystery because they're so challenging to study. Nobody knows where they give birth or even why they sing. When I started this project, I was really surprised by how little is actually known about them, said doctoral student Michelle Weirath-Mueller. With seafloor seismic monitoring on the rise, her goal is to fill in some of those gaps. The thing that's neat about this is that we are basically piggybacking on experiments that were designed for something completely different, she said. Already, the UW team has discovered that some fin whales migrate north in the fall, a time when biologists assumed most of the whales would be headed south to breed. Learning more about the species' movements, behavior, and communication patterns could bolster efforts to protect fin whales from further harm now that they are beginning to rebound from decades of whaling, said John Kalambakidis, whale biologist and co-founder of the Olympia-based Cascadia Research Collective.
Well, in reading this article, we have some specialized terms, a lot of words that we just mentioned, you know, like seismometers and other words. But I think the people's names we had Michelle, what is her name?
Weyrath-Mueller.
Yeah.
Weyrath-Mueller. Now we have this other person. What's her name?
John Kalambakidis.
Those names are hard enough, you know, to figure out. Don't try to figure out what they mean.
No.
They look like they're Polish or
German,
Hawaiian. I don't know what they are. Who knows, right? But anyway, we'll just call them by their first name. What about just calling her Michelle?
Okay.
That's easier, right?
Mm-hmm. And John.
I think so.
Okay. But this tells about the size now. Tell us a little bit more about the size of these different whales.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, they are second only to blue whales in size. Okay, they're the second largest creature, and fin whales remain shrouded in mystery because they're so challenging to study. If they're shrouded in mystery, they're kind of hidden inside mystery. We don't know much about them because they are hard to study for different reasons.
Okay, so the blue whales, they go way down deep in the ocean. It's hard to find them, but they're the very largest. And the second one is the fin whales, the second largest creatures on Earth, it says, up above. They're in that little circle. Can you imagine that? And so studying them is not very easy. Now, the fin whales are about what? Almost, they get as tall or as big as what, 85 feet?
Mm-hmm. 85 feet.
Meters.
And they weigh 45 to 60 tons? Mm-hmm. How long do they live?
Up to 80 to 90 years.
Can you imagine that? Never think about whales being that old, do you?
No.
No, you don't, actually.
Hmm. And the blue whales are even a little bit larger than that. Mm. How much do they weigh, does it say on there?
I don't see any weight, but it says they could. It looks like they could be up to about 100 feet long. So that's about 15 feet more than the fin whales grow to be.
Well, you know, the whale sharks and the other whales, they are actually only about 30 tons, so they're smaller, only 41 feet long. Well, that's still pretty big.
That is still
big. If you're swimming and you see one, my father was swimming in Seattle, and he liked to swim out quite far in the ocean. My mother would say, don't go so far out. Then one day he came back in a hurry, and a great big whale like that brushed up right next to him. And he was really scared because they're so big, and he never went that far out again. Because they're right there in the water, you know, in the Pacific Sound there.
Right, it'd be quite intimidating.
Yeah, I would be scared too.
Well, I don't know. You just thought, well, they're kind of big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They might flip their little tail. They won't hurt you. But, you know, they're so big, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. They are quite mysterious, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they say nobody knows where they give birth or even why they sing. So I think all this research that they're trying to do, like you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of things that perhaps they can learn through this information.
Right. Find out whether it's the male or the female sending the messages and if they're sending them for certain reasons, you know, and they're pretty big creatures. So they're finding more about this. And how are they finding out more about them? Since they're monitoring the seafloor, aren't they?
Right. They're using seafloor seismic monitoring. And they also say in this article that is on the rise. I think it's important to say if you see seismic or seismo, it has to do with the Earth's plates and studying those. So they're using that kind of information to pick up on the sounds of earthquakes, also on the sounds of these whales, and they're trying to fill in some of the gaps of the things that they don't understand about these huge creatures.
Right. And one of the people doing this is this doctoral student, Michelle. Mm-hmm. And it says that when she started the project, she was actually really surprised that there wasn't a lot known about these fin whales.
That's true. Because people just think about whales as being something, for instance, in Seattle, we say, well, the Eskimos like to kill the whales because they have this fat. We call it blubber.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, that they eat that in the winter, it keeps them warm.
Yes.
And when you think about the whales, they're in that freezing, icy water around Alaska. And most people, you know, we would die if we just in that water. But how come they don't die? Because they have all this blubber, this fat.
Right, a big layer of it.
So we kind of think about that when we think of whales, and we don't think of much else, I don't think.
True.
And I think Japanese people like to think, something good to eat. You know, everybody thinks of different things when whales. But think about them as a very unusual species, living up to 80 or 90 years with all kinds of communication networks and having babies and feeding them. We never think of them that way, do we?
No. I think Discovery tries to help us learn more about them in this kind of setting with the documentaries they try to make. But this is another thing where we're going to learn more and more about it. And I think that's why it says the thing that's neat about this is that we are basically piggybacking on the experiments that were designed for something completely different. And so when something is neat, it means that they think that that's a great idea, something very exciting.
And piggybacking is the words you need necessarily to remember. But when we're little kids, we want to have somebody give us a ride, like our father or relatives say, I want a piggyback ride.
Yeah.
And they put you on the back, and then they jog you up and down, run around. And we call that a piggyback ride. Do you do that down New Zealand, too?
Yes, absolutely. That's
fun.
But
I don't know why it got to do with pigs, but... Poor pigs.
Oh, yeah.
Do people ride on the back of pigs? I think we tried it when we were kids. We
Maybe that's where it came from.
But they call that a piggyback ride. But it means something that is small riding on the back of something else. So it's not going on its own. Somebody else is carrying it. Mm. In case you want to know what that word is, you don't know where it came from. Well, that's pretty interesting. Well, what else have they discovered?
Well, already the UW team, University of Washington team, has discovered that some fin whales migrate north in the fall. We often hear about birds migrating or flying south for the winter, while these whales migrate north when it's fall.
That does seem strange, but remember they have this blubber, this fat that keeps them so that they don't feel it. How can that really keep them from that cold? We should investigate that material and use it for jackets or something, right?
Right.
Blubber jackets.
There you go, Doris.
New
business.
Yeah.
Right.
New business.
But don't kill the whales for them. Blubber jackets.
Yeah. You have to go patent it.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
So that's very interesting, like you mentioned, because most biologists assumed that the whales would be heading south. And the reason for that is so that they would be breeding. And this is common. But they're learning, well, they want to learn. Well, why are they going north?
That's true. So they want to learn more about their movements, their behavior, and how they communicate. And it says that this would do something. It would bolster effects. To bolster means to give added, let's say, emphasis to it, right? To bolster something.
Right. To make it stronger.
Make it stronger,
or
right.
Give it support.
Right, support.
Yeah. So what are we trying to bolster support for?
Well, they're trying to learn more about the species' movements, like we just mentioned, their migration, but also their behavior and communication patterns. So all of those things, they could bolster or support efforts to protect the fin whales from further harm or more harm than they have already experienced.
That's true, because it says that they're beginning to come back a little bit after years and years, decades of whaling or killing whales.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, whaling is the activity of hunting whales. And as we've seen over the years, because of people enjoying the delicacy of eating whales, there has been a decrease in their number. In fact, some of them have become extinct as a consequence of whaling. And so they're looking at efforts to protect them so that they can continue to reproduce and have a population of these whales.
Well, this Cascadia Research Collective, I looked them up, and it says that they started in 1979 to do research so that we could protect these animals. And I found out that between 1935 and 65, those few years, over 30,000 individual whales were killed every year.
Wow.
Oh, every year.
And now
wow.
They don't know there's very many. There's very, very few left.
Right.
So that's really terrible, isn't it?
So over 30 years, they've decreased in number that
much. Every year, they would kill at least 30,000.
Right.
And now they try to have this, that you cannot kill whales now, but it says now that they think there's only about 5,000 of those left.
I think it's sad that it takes them to become extinct for us to realize we should have done something to protect them. So I think that this kind of research is making us aware of the fact that we need to be proactive in preventing the destruction of these kinds of whales.
Well, originally, you know, they didn't kill as many of them because it says that they couldn't do it because they're so big and they're very fast. You couldn't catch them. But then they got these modern techniques for killing the whales and on automated spheres that could come out from the boat and shoot out and kill them, harpoons and things that would be done electronically. And so pretty soon they started killing them. And now there's so many that they just, there's hardly any left. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. And if I did the math right in my head, I think we're talking about almost a million whales there over 30 years that were killed, or getting close to a million whales. So that really is
a very big
number.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we're going to find out more about this and what they do and think about them. But, you know, when we say we have a ban on killing whales, somebody says, oh, we should be able to kill them because we want to eat it. There's so many things to eat, and we waste so much when we kill some of these big animals. The sharks take off the fins and throw the sharks back. And, you know, there's so many things we do that are so cruel. Mm-hmm. We have to really be aware of this. So as we study this article, let's think about what we can do to sustain this. Otherwise, there won't be any of these things for future generations.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for being with us today. We'll talk more about that tomorrow and see what we can learn. And if you've got any little kids around, give them a piggyback ride.
Right. Sounds good. Sounds fun.
Okay. See you tomorrow. Goodbye.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.